Hello, I'm Mike Clark, Director of the MRC Hub for Trials Methodology Research in Northern Ireland, and I'm pleased to introduce another podcast in the Trials Change Lives collection. If we want to know whether two treatments are different, the best way to find out is to randomise patients to one or the other and to compare their outcomes. The sooner this is done after the introduction of a new treatment, the better. The sooner that patients, practitioners and policymakers will have an answer. Andy Molyneux, a neuroradiologist from Oxford in England, describes how this was done for a particular type of stroke and how it has transformed care and changed lives.
Until the 1970s, neurosurgery was the only procedure for treating a weak spot or aneurysm on a blood vessel in the brain, which had burst, causing a subarachnoid hemorrhage. The skull was opened to expose the aneurysm and it would be clipped to prevent further bleeding. In the 1970s, a new treatment was introduced in Russia, in which the aneurysm was accessed by a catheter from an artery in the groin. With the aid of X-ray imaging, this endovascular procedure inflated a small balloon device in the aneurysm to seal it. As a neuroradiologist, this was the method I began with in the early 80s. It was very crude, but had a measure of success in selected cases. In 1992, a more sophisticated device appeared in the form of a minute platinum coil, which worked by packing the aneurysm and causing clotting inside it, thus sealing it. The device industry that made this took off. But my question to myself was, here, in the Radcliffe Infirmary in Oxford, how do I know that I'm not doing more harm than good? How do we decide if patients should be treated this way or by clipping? My neurosurgical colleague, Richard Kerr, and I decided the only way to solve this was by doing a randomised trial. We started to design the study in 1994, just 2 years after the introduction of the coil. And in October of that year, the first patient was enrolled in what was to become the International Subarachnoid Aneurysm Trial, or ISAT. It took a lot of time alongside our busy clinical duties to produce an application for an MRC grant to conduct the full study, and our first application in 1996 was turned down. We tried again and were granted 5 years of funding in 1997 with a target of 2,500 patients. With a relatively rare condition, this meant recruiting in many centres, but only about a couple of hundred neuroradiologists worldwide had an interest in the procedure at that time. There was much debate, antagonism and some support. For many, it proved an ethical problem, while for some neurosurgeons, a move to coiling could mean a financial loss. However, we persevered, and worldwide, a total of 2,143 patients had been recruited by May 2002, when the Data Monitoring Committee recommended that we stop the trial because of the benefits it was showing for coiling. The results were published in The Lancet later that year, showing a 24% reduction in the risk of someone dying or being dependent on the care of others at 1 year, if their aneurysm was coiled rather than clipped. There was an immediate change in clinical practice in the UK and many countries, with a move to coiling most patients. The UK patients continued to be followed up until May 2013, and now, in 2014, we're hoping to publish the findings for the 10 to 18 year outcomes. The results have continued to show better outcomes for patients who undergo coiling, who may then have a near normal life expectancy and be much more likely to die of something other than their treated aneurysm. We had no idea how long this journey would be and are still analysing the immense bank of data provided in ISAT. We are sincerely thankful to all the patients and their families, to the MRC for enabling this important study in the devastating and costly field of subarachnoid hemorrhage, and to all the centres and colleagues who participated.